Hey everybody, welcome back to another Dynasty Team Preview here on the South Harmon Network. I am Eric Vanek and joined by Koopa as always, and today we are going to go over the Indianapolis Colts. Another pretty good up-and-coming team from last year, I think exceeded a lot of expectations that we had for them last year. So head coach Shane Steichen still there, had a really good first year there. Offensive coordinator is Jim Bob Cooter, one of the best names in all of football. Key players who left this offseason. So Gardner Minshew, who took over for Anthony Richardson early on, he moved on to the Raiders. And Zach Moss left to go to the Bengals. Targets and vacated air yards. So they're going to lose 51 targets and 26 air yards. So don't know how that one's possible either, but it is. So let's take a look at the quarterback position. Koopa, go ahead and start us off with the quarterbacks.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have Anthony Richardson, their first-round draft pick from last year, who he started off the season hot and just dealt with an injury early, came back, and then hurt his shoulder hard enough that he was knocked out the rest of the season. And so that's how Gardner Minshew ended up being the quarterback for this team. But Anthony Richardson, everything that I saw in the first couple games looked awesome. I loved what I saw. Especially for fantasy purposes, when he was on the field, he was like quarterback 3, 3, and 4 for like the 3 weeks that he played fully. And that is absolutely what you want out of your quarterback in fantasy. The only concern is, hey, will he stay healthy? That we just know these running quarterbacks, they get beat up a little bit more than your more traditional pocket passer. So we're just hoping that he can stay healthy. But if he does, man, he's going to be an absolute stud for your fantasy team. Joe Flacco's the backup. We saw him come in and do a really great job in Cleveland last year. And I think that in the event that Anthony Richardson does get hurt, Joe Flacco is probably going to be a really solid quarterback. Here in Indianapolis, I mean, they've got a really good offensive line that we like to see. They have enough talent out there at the receiver position. I mean, in my opinion, probably better talent than what was in Cleveland last year, or at least equivalent. And so I think that Joe Flacco can come in and he can do quite well once again if he's needed to step up. Then the rest of the quarterbacks are Sam Ellinger, who's been on the team, I guess, for a couple of years now, and Keaton Slovis. They signed as a UDFA this year out of BYU. They kept three quarterbacks on that initial roster. I see it being Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco for sure. And then the third one, I could see Keaton Slovis getting in as the third quarterback over Sam Ellinger. He's never done anything to show that they have any real trust in him. I think he appeared in one game, either I think it was like 2 years ago or something, and then like immediately got replaced by like somebody that they like signed. It wasn't even someone who was like on the team before. They just signed somebody else, and then that's the quarterback that came in and replaced him, or something along those lines. And so I could definitely see that, unless Sam Ellinger has really grown in the eyes of the coaching staff, that Keaton Slovis potentially comes in and he's the one that stays on the team.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. There's probably going to be a battle between Slovis and Ellinger for sure, to see who the third quarterback is going to be. But yeah, I mean, Richardson coming off of that shoulder injury, looks everything that we've seen and read so far, looks like he's going to be good to go. He's already throwing and doing all that kind of stuff, so I think he's going to be fine. Joe Flacco was absolutely tremendous last year, being a Browns fan and getting to watch that. It was some of the most fun times as a Browns fan in quite a long time, so was glad to see that. Just kind of bringing up Richardson's numbers. So he only started, he started four games last year. The fourth game, actually, he missed the Baltimore game in week 3, and then where he had an injury, and then he came back, Week 5 is where he got injured against Tennessee in that game, and that's where he hurt his shoulder and was out for the year. But in those couple games that he did start, 10 for 40 and a rushing touchdown, 3 for 35, 2 rushing touchdowns against Houston, and against the Rams, 10 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. And, you know, that's not even, you know, talking about his passing statistics at all. So his passing statistics definitely need to get a little bit better. But, I mean, just look at those rushing numbers. He had a rushing touchdown in every single game he started last year. I think the ceiling, or the floor, I'm sorry, is going to be 10 rushing touchdowns for this guy. Like, I think that's where we're talking here. So you're getting 10 rushing touchdowns. How many ever rushing yards he's going to get, he's probably going to be in the, I would say, above 500, but probably, you know, 500, 600 range. I mean, just to get that in fantasy, he's definitely going to be a top six quarterback for me this coming season. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I think he's going to be top six. He's actually projected in expert consensus to be a quarterback six right now. I think that is, assuming he's healthy, I think that's his floor. Like, yeah. I just, with the amount that he rushes, the like, even without getting like as many touchdowns as he was doing last season, like he, as you said, like 10 touchdowns seems pretty reasonable. And if you go and listen to the 40 chess pods from last week and the week before, they're all about what does it take to be a top tier quarterback, especially when you're talking about warp. And man, the rushing makes it so much easier, regardless of what your passing is. And Anthony Richardson has that rushing ability.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, so let's go on now to the running backs. So Jonathan Taylor, obviously he got that new deal last year. PFF grade of 74.9, 25th of 59 at the running back spot. Evan Hull, the 2023 fifth round pick, is the backup right now. That's a guy that I am really high on, just because he is going to probably be the backup for this team. They took him pretty high. I liked him coming out of the draft. He was a workhorse at Northwestern, so I really, really like him, and he can catch the ball. And that's a guy you can basically get off some waiver wires. You can get thrown into trades for free. I've seen him on I've seen him on a couple of my waiver wires this offseason, and I'm like, I got to have this guy because he's going to be the backup to Taylor. Taylor has also been banged up, too, the last couple of years. So Evan Hull, definitely somebody I want to invest in right now in Dynasty Leagues. Trey Sermon still there. Tyler Goodson, Xavier Scott, a 2023 UDFA, and Trent Penix, a 2024 UDFA out of North Carolina State. Last year, they kept three running backs on the initial 53. But that did not include Jonathan Taylor because he started the first six games on the PUP list. So that was Zach Moss and Evan Hull and Deion Jackson last year. So I think it's probably going to be similar this year. Taylor, Hull, I think, are locks. And then you probably have a battle between Sermon and Goodson to see who the third guy is going to be. What do you got for running back, Scuba?
Yeah, so Jonathan Taylor, he's projected to be running back 4. You absolutely want him. The cool thing about the Indianapolis Colts is that we're seeing it with Anthony Richardson. We're seeing it with Jonathan Taylor. Like, they're a team that has those top tier assets on it. And so you can definitely get some really, really good players out of this Colts team just because they aren't going to spread the ball around as much as funnel it to their couple guys that are really good. So Jonathan Taylor, you absolutely want him. Evan Hull, I agree with you. He's probably going to be on this team. I actually am a little worried about exactly whether he wins the running back 2 role or not, just because last year it seemed like he was getting passed over quite a bit to allow the coaching staff to see a Trey Sermon, to see a Tyler Goodson on the field. And so it makes me a little worried that maybe they don't have as much belief in Evan Hull. But if he grew over the course of the season, maybe they weren't using him just because they wanted a little bit more experience that Sermon and Goodson have. We'll have to see exactly how it looks in terms of how the camps shake out and things like that. But I don't see him as much of a lock as RB2 as you do.
He was injured last year, so that's why he missed a lot of time last year. So that's why he was passed up by Sermon and Goodson.
Yeah, but seeing Sermon and Goodson, I mean, the coaching staff did seem to use both of them. So I think that there's going to be some amount of just seeing how the coaching staff plays with those three guys. I think those are the three relevant guys. I don't see Xavier Scott or Trent Penix actually making the team. I think that they probably only end up keeping three. If they keep four, it could, they could potentially keep all four. Especially with when you look at their wide receivers, those are a little lighter, and sometimes you keep extra running backs and fewer wide receivers if you're going to do potentially something like more two running back sets or something like that as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on to the wide receivers. So we have a whole gaggle of guys here. Michael Pittman Jr., obviously the lead guy, got his contract this offseason. 77.7 was his PFF grade, which was 27th of 128. Pittman is on the rise as a superstar in this league, so I'm still drafting him. He's a top 15 wide receiver for me in Dynasty, so like Michael Pittman Jr. a lot. Adonai Mitchell, who they drafted in the second round. Josh Downs, third-round pick last year, 70.3 PFF grade, 49th of 128 last year, so he really did good. Alec Pierce, still on the team, 58.1 grade, 96th of 128. Ashton Doolin, he missed all of 2023 with an injury, but before that, he was figuring into the offense quite a bit, Ashton Doolin, so I think he's still going to be back with this team. Anthony Gould, the 2024 fifth-round pick. DJ Montgomery, he came in, played a little bit last year with all their injuries. Juwan Winfrey, Ethan Furney, Tyree Cleveland, Xavier White, a 2024 UDFA out of Texas Tech, and Jason Bean, a UDFA out of Kansas. He was actually the quarterback at Kansas last year, so converted from quarterback to wide receiver. They only kept four wide receivers on this initial 23-man roster last year. I think it'll be a little bit more than that this year. I think probably Pittman, Adonai Mitchell, Josh Downs, I guess Alec Pierce still makes the team. Ashton Doolin and Anthony Gould, I think those are probably going to be the six wide receivers if I had to choose. Maybe one more sneaks in there like a DJ Montgomery, but I think I'm going to go with six wide receivers for right now. What are you thinking about the wide receivers, Koopa?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be more like a five, the wide receivers. But obviously Pittman, Adonai Mitchell, Josh Downs, Alec Pierce are going to be in. And I could see them deciding, okay, we'll do one of either Doolin or Gould and then try to get the other onto the practice squad. But something that I want to talk about is Michael Pittman. So right now he is projected to be the wide receiver 22. And what we saw last year from him was he ended the season as the wide receiver 15. And he, when Anthony Richardson was on the field, they played this more like read option-y kind of offense where Anthony Richardson had the choice to either look at his target. If they were open, throw it. If not, he could take off with his legs and run. And this was something that J.J. Zacharyson talked about a lot in the lead up to last year, and I think it's going to be relevant again for this year. Michael Pittman's the obvious number one target on this offense. And these rushing quarterbacks, yeah, they aren't great for the team as a whole in terms of wide receivers, but they are really good for that number one target. And so Michael Pittman being that, like, I can see him being better than wide receiver 22 this coming mm-hmm. season. And so that's somebody to look out for, is maybe his value is a little bit depressed compared to what it could be. And I am personally excited to get a lot of Michael Pittman on my teams. All the other guys, I am much more worried about if you're in a lineup league. Best ball, all right, maybe I can justify a little bit of Josh Downs, a little bit of Adonai Mitchell. But realistically, I don't think there's going to be that many targets going to these guys. You might have a couple games where they're going to be relevant, but you don't want to rely on these guys to be regular, like, flex staples or anything like that in your lineup. I don't think they're going to be at that kind of level.
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about Downs. He did a lot of his damage last year with Gardner Minshew in the lineup. So Sure, in best ball, I agree with you. These guys are good for best ball. I like Mitchell a little bit more because he is that kind of outside wide receiver, kind of like Michael Pittman is. Obviously, not as talented. But, you know, if Anthony Richardson can, you know, succeed in those areas, I think Adonai Mitchell could have a couple decent games this year coming up, too. Looking at Mitchell's highlights from Dane Brugler, overall, Mitchell needs to become a more detail-focused receiver to fully unlock his talent, but he has the body length, loose athleticism, and catch-point skills to be a chain-moving weapon. He projects as a rangy, outside-the-numbers target with his lean, limber body type, reminiscent of the late Chris Henry. 71.9 PFF grade last year at Texas, 55 catches on 86 targets, 845 yards, and 11 touchdowns. He had 511 pass snaps, 94 of them came in the slot, 417 out wide, 66.9 man coverage grade, which is not great. Like, I think a guy like Adonai Mitchell should be succeeding a lot more in man coverage than he did. So hopefully he improves on that. Has Reggie Wayne there as his coach, receiver coach in Indy, so hopefully that works out. One drop last year, so that's good. 3.2 yards after catch, so tied for 448th in the in college. 16 was his A dot, which was 39th in college. 8 catches for 302 yards on deep balls, 5 catches for 69 yards out of the slot. He's good with his releases. He has fast, quick feet, more consistent with route running. He does have too many wasted steps, so hopefully he can work on a little bit of that stuff with Reggie Wayne there and get better. And then quickly on Anthony Gold. Overall, Gold has a chance to carve out a role for himself in the NFL because of his speed, but his further route polish is needed to help balance out his diminutive size. His punt return experience helps his chances of staying on a roster, similar to like a Jakeem Grant. So he had a 73.9 PFF grade, 44 catches on 70 targets, 711 yards, 2 touchdowns. He played on 288 pass snaps, 22 slot snaps, 266 out wide. He had an 83.1 man coverage grade, 4 drops, 5.8 yak, 13.6 was his A dot. He was 6 for 196 on deep balls and 8 for 99 in the slot last year. So Anthony Gold probably going to be, you know, another type of Alec Pierce guy, but I think they kind of drafted him for his really, really good return skills and punt returns and probably kick returns as well. Onto the tight ends here real quick. So they still have that whole gaggle of tight ends from last year. Jelani Woods is back this year. He did not play at all last year, 2022 second round pick. I believe he's going to be the starter. Kylan Granson, PFF grade 56.8 last year, 48th of 72. Mo Alie-Cox is still there. His PFF grade was 61.4, which was 33rd of 72. Will Mallory, a 2023 fifth round pick, who I really like. Drew Ogletree got his off-the-field issues cleared up. He's still there, sixth-round pick from 2022. Eric Tomlinson, who's bounced around about 17 different teams, and Jordan Murray is still there as well. They kept 5 tight ends on their initial 53-man roster last year. I could probably see 4 this year. I think in Jelani, Granson, Will Mallory, and then I think between Drew Ogletree and Mo Alie-Cox, I think is where that battle is going to be. I would probably lean to Mo Alie-Cox, but they really do like Drew Ogletree. If they're comfortable with his off-field stuff and that he's not a problem, I could definitely see them keeping Drew Ogletree over Mo Alie-Cox. What do you have on the tight end spot there, Koopa?
Yeah, realistically, for fantasy purposes, the only one that I'm even considering is Jelani Woods. But if you're in a one tight end league, I'm not even picking him up. He's ranked in expert consensus as tight end 34. I think that is low for if a top tier tight end does emerge out of the Colts. Like if a guy clearly becomes the number one, and I think if there is anybody to do it, it is Jelani Woods. The real question is just, will that happen? Last year, we just saw their propensity to just be like, yeah, we're just going to rotate all of these guys and we're going to randomly choose which one happens to get the 60% snap share this week. It was almost like they were doing like a rotation like you would do with like your starting pitchers in baseball or something, but this is a weekly game of football. You don't need to do that. So I don't understand their logic behind it. my hope is that that ended up happening because they were expecting Jelani Woods to be the starter, and then they were just scrambling the whole season trying to replace what Jelani Woods should be with somebody else, and nobody was at his level. But if that's not the case, and it's just they want to use the tight end position as we just rotate through a bunch of guys constantly, then nobody's going to emerge here. You aren't going to want any of these guys except for in like a high tight end premium best ball. And if you got a low tight end premium best ball, I don't want any of these guys. If you don't know who any of them are, if you've got a lineup league, I'm not going to want any of these guys. Like, it's just, it's a mess in the tight end room here.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So on to the offensive line, which was rated third last year. So they really, really rebounded after a tough 2022. They finally got shit figured out here. So really good for them. Bernard Raimann was their top breakout player, ranked fifth among left tackles with a PFF overall grade of 82.3 last year. So really good there for the left tackle. He was actually seventh of 81 overall for tackles. And then they drafted backup Matt Gonclaves this year, 2024 third-round pick out of Pittsburgh. Highlights for him. So Gonclaves has several skills that will translate to tackle in the NFL, but a move inside the guard as a phone booth blocker should better equate his size, strength, and play style. He projects as an NFL reserve who can provide depth at multiple positions. So right now they have him listed as the backup left tackle. Quentin Nelson's still there. Obviously, he's a super stud. PFF grade last year of 70.8, which is 16th out of 79 at guards. So not the greatest season from him, but the rest of his line mates really picked it up. Josh Sills is his backup. Ryan Kelly finally had a good, healthy season. PFF grade of 77.2, which was 8th of 36 at centers. Wesley French, a 2022 UDFA, is his backup. Will Fries is the right guard. PFF grade last year, 32nd. Of 79 with a 61.2 grade, and Tanner Bordellini, who they drafted in the fourth round. Some highlights on him. Bordellini had persistent hiccups on his 2023 tape, but the guard to center transition is rarely immediate, and he offers encouraging upside. Thanks to his fluidity, intelligence, and technical skills, he projects as an eventual NFL starter with position flexibility across the interior. So this guy can play center too, so he might back up center if Ryan Kelly were to get hurt. But right now they have him listed as the backup right guard. Right tackle, Braden Smith had a really good year as well. 83.3 was his grade, 7th out of 81. And then Blake Freeland, a 2023 fourth-round pick, is his backup. Kick returners and punt returners, pretty easy here. Koopa, I'll let you take over.
Yeah, so Josh Downs is the only guy realistically with return experience that's returning from last year. And then they picked up Anthony Gould in the draft. So it's probably just going to be those two guys. If I had to take a guess, Gould is probably the punt returner, and then it's Gould and Josh Downs back there for kick return duties. Which one actually has priority, I'm not sure about. Or if they just decide to train up somebody else, that could also be a possibility, depending on if one of these running backs, they want to try them at kick return and they start to look good, or they could even potentially do something like it. Hey, I don't know how Doolin would look back there, but he could be somebody that if he shows some propensity with the new rules, he could end up just, that could be what solidifies his roster spot or something along those lines.
Yeah, I think I might be mistaken, but I think I remember Evan Hull was a kick returner a little bit at Northwestern, a little bit too. I don't know if you remember from last year, but
there's something in his past around that too.
Yeah, so that's another possibility. But overall thoughts here on the Colts, I think, you know, it's Anthony Richardson for me. You know, this offense is going to go as he goes. If he ends up getting hurt again, I think this offense can still be really good with Joe Flacco in there. They might have a little bit more turnovers, but he's going to have a really good offensive line in front of him. That's going to change the dynamic with the passing offense too. So like, if that were to happen, I'm more interested in the Donnie Mitchell. I'm more interested in Josh Downs if Flacco gets in there. The tight ends, I'd probably be a little bit more interested in too. All four of them, five of them, whatever they are. You can kind of see how they're being used, but I mean, look how Flacco used Njoku at the end of last year. Like, Jelani Woods is a big athletic weapon like that too. Not as crazy athletic as Njoku, but you know, Woods should have a pretty good season there. But hey, I'm interested in Richardson, Taylor, Michael Pittman. They got three elite weapons there. That's who I'm probably going to prioritize this year. How about you?
Yeah, I'm really just looking at those three: Richardson, Taylor, and Pittman. And if Richardson goes down, now that potentially makes me interested in some of the more secondary pieces. Can that might make me interested in whichever one's the wide receiver two out of Adonai Mitchell and Josh Downs. That might make me interested in if Jelani Woods is playing as the tight end one on this team. Now I might actually be interested in rostering him. Just things like that, where this team could change, but with Anthony Richardson, it's going to be mostly focused on the top guys. If he ends up getting hurt, now some of the depth. It's weird to think that, oh, if the starting quarterback gets hurt, I'm more interested in the depth pieces now. But that's how this team is going to look if that happens.
All right, so that is going to be it for the Indianapolis Colts preview here, guys. We will see you next time here for the Jacksonville Jaguars.